Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning, and a welcome to all those who are joining us online this morning. It is good to have your presence with us as well. Announcements for this week have been on the screens before you, as well as a couple of things in the bulletin. Most notable in my life, anyways, I'm on vacation in 55 minutes, according to my wristwatch. But no, this is my last service of worship before we're away for a couple of weeks. During the time that I am away, supply will be capably handled by Alex Plant and Mark Burgon and Ian McMillan. And while I'm away, Reverend Mark will be is on call for any emergent pastoral care that is required. So you can reach out to him, and you can reach out to him. Didn't feel comfortable putting it on on slides, since they go out to the whole world, but I think his number is in next week's bulletin. This is the problem when you do bulletins 3 weeks in advance. You kind of forget the order of things. And I will make sure, you can also contact the church office or the elders, and I'll make sure the elders have his number by the end of the day. We welcome Minna back to the organ bench this morning. It's like she was never gone. Good morning, Minna. Olivia is in Kamloops with Opera Kamloops. No, not Kamloops. Kelowna, BC in a K word. Sometimes I get a little. She's doing workshops with Opera Kelowna this month, and so we are. She flew out yesterday, so I hope she has a good time while she is there. And we welcome Minna back for the month of August to fill our musical needs. So we're very grateful to have Minna's presence. And finally, the Agape Center insert is here for a new collection of materials. So thank you to everyone in advance for remembering to share from your abundance with those who are in need. As we enter in worship, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we, who are his faithful people, seek to walk in the light of his love. Let us stand as we come for worship this morning and say together the call to worship as it appears before us on the screens. Gathered in from many lands, we come from east and west, from north and south. Some of us have wandered through deserts. Some of us are hungry and thirsty. But the Holy One heard our pleas and has delivered us from our distress. So we come with prayers of thanksgiving, for God's steadfast love endures forever. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy One, you see us for just who we are, and yet you love us with a parent's love. In your enduring love for us, we see both our guilt and our acquittal. Gracious God, come to guide us and teach us to walk in your ways. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we open in praise this morning, singing hymn number 96 in the Book of Praise. Let us with a gladsome mind, hymn number 96, or as it will appear before you.
Thank you.
let us come now and return to our God in confession, considering God's steadfast love for us. The prayer of confession for this morning is a unison prayer and will appear before you on the screens. Holy God, you lavish us with good gifts, yet we persist in seeking after that which robs us of abundant life. We hold fast to our anxieties and give in to our greed. We desire the very things that harm us. Forgive us, purify us, and sustain us by the strength of your Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, hear these words from our God. I cannot give up on you. My compassion grows warm and tender. When my children come trembling, I will bring them home. Believe in the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Once more, we turn in praise to number 338 in the Book of Praise. Let all things now living, number 338, or as it will appear before you on the screens. Morning. If there were young people to bring forward, I don't. No. Think Rob and Jamila are probably still my youth group this morning, and I'm not going to ask them to come forward. But if we had young people here this morning, we were going to ask them a question about what has been the greatest thing that they've done so far this year. Because, of course, summer is that time when we all get to do amazing and wonderful things. Since I have no young people, who's done something interesting this summer? Anybody? The Macs have had a new grandchild. That has to count for something. And they get to play with it, so, and then give it back. So, grandchildren. Some others may have visited with grandchildren. Other, at least Robert, John, Family reunions. Yes, we've had a couple of those in the congregation this year. A chance to meet with relatives from near and far. The date for the family reunion in my family is July the 10th, which happened to be my grandparents' wedding anniversary. So on all of the big ones, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, there was a celebration, and it was always around that weekend. And I got notice this year, which would have been my grandparents' 80th, that in 2 years' time, I've got a family reunion. So we're looking forward to that in my family, too. And we've got plenty of warning in our family's case so that people can come from near and far for that. So yes, I'm looking forward to that in a couple of years. But the Adamses had a family reunion. The Fergusons had a family reunion. So those are at least two that I'm aware of, and I'm sure many others have gathered with family. Other highlights of the year, trips here and there. I saw at least two other members of the congregation at the Highland Games this weekend. For some of us, that's the highlight of the summer. Don't forget the service this afternoon at Kirk Hill for those who are wanting to go to the service. I forgot to mention that in the announcements, so I'll cover that off now. So all of these wonderful things that we do, to have chances to meet with family and friends and to celebrate anniversaries and comings and goings are part of summer celebrations. And you know, may not be quite as exciting as the young people would have said, because they've probably been to the beach and ridden roller coasters and all kinds of things like that that I don't know about you all, but I'm mostly past. but a wonderful chance to celebrate. And as we do all of these things that are remarkable to us, these opportunities to travel and to gather, part of that we always need to remember is to be thankful to God for the many blessings that He gives us in all kinds of circumstances, and we can celebrate God's blessing in prayer as we do all of those things. So a reminder to remember God in prayer as we have these wonderful experiences throughout the summer, things that are past, and since we're only halfway there, things that are yet to come. Let us come now before God in prayer. Let us pray. God, we trust that you have our best interests at heart. As we hear the reading of your word this day, remind us that we have been raised with Christ and inspire us to seek the things that are above through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
First reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of the Creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, enslaved and free, but Christ is all and in all. Now, the responsive reading is Psalm 107, and it will be on the screen. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble.
And gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to an inhabited town.
Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them.
Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress.
He led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind.
For he satisfies the thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things.
Let those who are wise pay attention to these things, and consider the steadfast love of the Lord.
The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God."
Once more, let us sing to God's praise. Hymn 647, "Lead Us, Heavenly Father, Lead Us," 647.
Thank you.
And we continue to read from God's word as it is given to us in the book of the prophet Hosea, reading Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. Let us listen for God's word to his people. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more I called them, the more they went from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. They shall return to the land of Egypt, and Assyria shall be their king, because they have refused to return to me. The sword rages in their cities. It consumes their oracle priests and devours because of their schemes. My people are bent on turning away from me. To the Most High they call, but he does not raise them up at all. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboiim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce judgment. I will not again destroy Ephraim. For I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. They shall go after the Lord who roars like lions, and when he roars, his children shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria, and I will return them to their homes. Thus says the Lord. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Now, I guess if you grew up in the 70s, thank you, Jeanette, you got it anyway. I don't know if anybody else, I don't see any other glimmers of recognition, but yeah. If you grew up in the 70s, and one of the great, great rock anthems of the 70s is Carry On My Wayward Son by Kansas. It's a good thing we're flying to Prince Edward Island this summer and not driving, because that probably would be on the playlist since it's been drawn into my mind. And try as I might, I couldn't find biblical reference other than the title between the great rock anthem of the 70s and the sermon this morning and the reading from Hosea. But Hosea's invitation this morning to the people of Israel is to return to them, recognizing that they are and will always be wayward children. Now, as we come this morning and return to the scripture readings from Hosea, if you were here last week, you will recall I promised you two sermons on Hosea, and this is number two. Last week was number one. We follow up that reading from last week from Hosea chapter 1, and I don't know if you've noticed it, but my, how things have changed in just 1 week. To recap, for those who may have missed last weekend, Hosea is a prophet in the northern kingdom of Israel, writing in the 7th century before Christ, as Israel is in danger of being overrun by the Assyrian army. It's that period, the beginning of that period of biblical history we refer to as the exile. If you want way more detail, go back, go home this afternoon, watch the beginning of last week's sermon. But in that, as we explored that last week, we mentioned the fact that God's judgment has fallen upon the people of Israel because they have been unfaithful to the covenant that God made with Abraham and his descendants after him, that God would be their God and that they would be God's people. And the tribes of the north had violated that covenant. They had incorporated aspects of Baal worship into their worship, Baal being the Canaanite fertility god of the people who had dwelt in the land before the tribes of Israel had arrived, and that their unfaithfulness had infected everything that they did. When you're unfaithful in one thing, you're unfaithful in all things. So it infected all of their society and all of the people. But then we get to chapter 11. And far from the words of judgment that we heard last week, we hear God's affirmations to God's people. Here the prophet's declaration depicts God as a loving parent of, I haven't quite figured out if Israel is 2 years old or a teen. But somewhere in, and I don't think God really has either from reading this, somewhere between 2 years old and teens, God is reminding the people of Israel of all that they have experienced from God's gracious hand. Now, for anyone who has been a parent, and perhaps for many of us who have been children of parents, we know how impetuous teenagers can be and the pain that they can cause to their parents with when they make some angry declaration like, I'm going to run away from home, or when I turn 18, I'm going to move out and I'm never coming back. Nobody has had children like that in their households, have they? And here in this passage that we read this morning, we observe that God knows that pain too as the parent. God reflects upon her experiences of birthing and nurturing of this people, Israel, of forming them as a people, of delivering them from their captivity in Egypt through the waters. In those first days, God says, God bore them in her arms and taught them how to walk. With bands of love, God bent low and fed the people and provided for them. That's the two-year-old part. And yet, the more that God cares for them, it seems, the more the people have rebelled against God and have worshipped the god of Baal. But Baal was not the one who nurtured them. The idols of the land that they now possessed were not the ones that had led them out of Egypt and out of bondage there. There is no power in those gods. And because of the rebellion of the people, now they must face the Assyrian army alone. The land will be overrun. The people will once more live in captivity just as they did when they lived in Egypt those centuries before. But in verse 8, the fortunes of the people turn. Because God says that God continues to watch over them. While they might live in rebellion, God, the eternal parent, is still there. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboiim? My heart recoils within me, and my compassion grows warm and tender. God will not leave the people desolate or alone. God will turn them. In a reference that harkens back to the book of Genesis, Hosea refers to Admah and Zeboiim, cities of the region of Sodom and Gomorrah that were destroyed by God. And yet even those cities who were destroyed for their great apostasy were not beyond the loving gaze of their Creator. And neither would God's people be. Verse 9 continues, I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. Here in this verse, God declares that rash anger is no part of the divine nature of God. Such things belong to the mortal world, but God, by his very nature, is a God of love and a God of life. And destruction will not come because of him. In all things, God seeks to redeem God's people. Therefore, the people of the land of Israel, here referred to as Ephraim, because if you remember from that map last week, Ephraim was the very southernmost of the tribes that in that great map with all of the colors of the tribes. And Ephraim and Manasseh were those two great tribal areas right there on the border between the northern and southern kingdoms, Israel and Judah. So Ephraim becomes kind of this other name for the northern kingdom from time to time. And here, the people of Israel, referred to as Ephraim, one of those 12 tribes, will not be left abandoned in fear. During this time of exile, they will once more come to trust in the Lord their God, and they will be led home. They will come trembling in fear, he says, but they will be received into the bosom of God's love. And so it is for us too. As the psalmist records in Psalm 139, we are a people who have been fearfully and wonderfully made. The intricacy and the mystery of the human body and human life, and indeed all of creation, is a wonder that is to be beheld, that we behold, a masterpiece crafted by the very hand of God, who delights in the beauty and the elegance of each muscle and tendon and sinew in our body, with each feathered bird and each creature that dwells in the depths of the ocean so deep that no one will ever see them. And yet God delights in them because God knows the intricacy of their creation. Imagine you are the delight of God. Not because of anything you do, for God only knows that we are indeed wayward sons and daughters, but simply because God has created you. And nothing that we do or say will cause God to turn from us. While some people may turn from God and claim God does not hold first place in their lives, like a wayward child might with their parent, that causes God to love us no less than he does. Every now and then in our Bible studies on Tuesday nights, I don't know why, and I'm particularly unprepared for it every time. I guess I need to get start looking ahead, don't I? Because this keeps coming up on Wednesday nights. Every now and then on Wednesday nights, we get talking about the doctrine of election. I'm not good on doctrine. When I was in seminary, my kind of mantra was, well, I'll preach scripture. I'll let other people worry about doctrine. And yet, doctrine does come up from time to time in the oddest of places. In Bible study, it comes up from time to time. And so I've looked at the doctrine of election a little bit. Should look at it more, because it's a hard doctrine. The doctrine of election has been given to us who are the church to help us understand, perhaps, this difficult reality that is laid out before us in the book of the prophet Hosea. Indeed, it lies out before us across scripture, that it is possible for people who are aware of the overwhelming love of God to turn their backs on God and to live wayward lives untethered by God's love. That's why we have a doctrine of election. Because the wonder and the mystery of God's presence and God's actions in our lives sometimes isn't enough. What causes the seed of faith in some to germinate and to bear fruit, and in some others to fall on rocky ground? That's what lies at the heart of discussions about the doctrine of election. And to some, that seems capricious, but it is the recognition, really, that we live in this tension that we find here and elsewhere in Scripture, that despite the overwhelming love of God, that people have in the past and still today wandered from that love. They've gone away and sought other things to fill the holes in their lives, to be used to address their hurt and their anxieties, their pain and their sinfulness. And yet the reality is that we hear time and again in Scripture that our God is a God of love who constantly calls us back, who constantly welcomes us, and who constantly reaffirms that he is our beloved parent. And that for us is good news. To know that wherever we go and however far we might stray from God, that God remains faithful to us. That God calls us out and extends his hand and welcomes us home with love and affection. And for that reality, we give thanks to God. Amen. Our affirmation of faith here through the summer months, we've kind of settled in with the Apostles' Creed. So we say together the Apostles' Creed number 539 in the Book of Praise, or as it will appear before you on the screens. We join our voices with the Church of God across all time and space as we stand and say these words together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Through Jesus Christ, God cautions us against storing up riches for ourselves. Let us then consider these things that we give this day as the blessings that God gives us, that we may be blessings to others. Let us present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for the richness of our lives. Bless these, our tithes and our offerings, that they might be used as expressions of your steadfast love for those who are in need, near and far. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, in whom we live and move and have our being, we come to you in prayer in midsummer, thankful for the occasions that we have enjoyed so far, to catch up with family and friends, to travel for recreation and restoration, to enjoy the beauty of nature in the landscapes we love. And so we thank you for every moment of joy that we treasure. As we come today, we remember those for whom this summer is difficult, for communities cleaning up after storms or worried about wildfires, for areas facing drought or the effect of floods, for those worried about uncertainty in the economy and the impact of climate crisis. May each one find courage to face tomorrow in your company. Gracious God, in Jesus Christ, you walked the road of suffering with us, reaching out to those in pain and in grief. We remember those whose lives have faced crises this summer through tragic death and unexpected loss, through critical illness or injury, through pain or problems that seem to have no end. Surround them, O God, with your comfort and compassion, and may they know your presence abides with them still. O God, Jesus faced demanding crowds as he traveled through the countryside, and the pressures of critics in whatever he did. We pray for all those who have not found rest this summer, for those who are juggling the demands for more resources and the struggle to make ends meet, for those whose work or plans for the future are uncertain, for those fleeing conflict and seeking new homes in despair and in hope. May they know your strength and assurance day by day. O God, we need the embrace of your presence, each in our own way. Bring healing and peace to our lives and to this world that you love. Open our eyes and our hearts so that we may offer healing and peace to others in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn of praise this morning is number 475 in the Book of Praise. Now thank we all our God. Hymn 475, or as it will appear before you on the screen.
Oh,
let us go out into the world, seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.